This morning, the sermon will take a little bit different look. I mean, it's not really a sermon. We're going to have a conversation, go over a couple of scriptures. And then towards the end, what we're going to do is we're going to join hands and we're going to pray. We're going to pray for all those that have been affected by Hurricane Matthew. Pray for our brothers and sisters that are in harm's way, whose lives have been changed. And we want people to know, we want those that have been affected to know that this church is praying, and this church is going to pray without ceasing, and that through prayer we can make a difference. I would invite you to hear the words from two different passages in Isaiah. First passage is Isaiah 43, verse 1, starting there and working down, and then over in Isaiah 41:10. But now says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. And then in Isaiah 41:10, we read, Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, these particular passages are not about a flood. They're not about what's happening in the eastern part of our country right now, or the eastern part of our state. They're about a time of deliverance when the Israelites were in a very dark time. They were hopeless. They were in despair. They were hurting. Because they didn't know what tomorrow would hold. And what they found is strength in the Lord, a Lord, a God, a Father who would deliver, and a God who would be present in their darkest day. Brothers and sisters, right now in North Carolina, there is tremendous tragedy that continues to go on. Some of you know that I've been down there for a week as part of a strike team providing medical care and being part of the response to the hurricanes. And it was a very humbling experience. I went down in business mode as a provider, doing the help that I can, providing leadership for my team. But when I got down there, I don't think that I was really prepared to see the sights that I did. The sights changed me. The sights made me realize the real pain that people were experiencing. I mean, there were people who awoke to find everything gone. Many lost their lives. Many continue to lose their lives because there is so much devastation and destruction. I mean, there are people whose houses were completely submerged. And when you see, or when you think about it, how would we deal with it if all of a sudden everything that we had was gone? All of our memories, our houses, our conveniences, our pictures, our possessions that we like, that we've had for years. How would we deal with it if all of a sudden every one of these things were gone? And that's what these people were experiencing now. And then there are people who initially thought they were okay as the hurricane come through and everything was standing the next morning, only to find the floodwaters rapidly rising. And in some places, the floodwaters didn't crest until about 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon. So people who thought they were okay suddenly found themselves in the path of destruction. They went to bed one night, everything was normal, and woke up the next day and everything was destroyed. And their lives had been changed forever. Now, I went down there in business mode as a responder, if you will. I mean, the way that we do our job, we focus on what needs to be happening. And I guess it was really yesterday that it finally hit me. That it hit me what impact this really had. It hit me knowing that people were hurting. And that people didn't know where to turn. And yesterday, I'm in a station, and we're doing our things, and a group of children showed up at a station. A group of children who had been affected just like everyone else. I knew where these kids lived at. I knew what neighborhood they lived in. They had lost tremendously. And these three kids and two mothers from that community, they show up and they had about 10 or 12 cupcakes. That's all that they had. I mean, they were not having their basic needs met, but that's all they had. They had these 10 or 12 cupcakes, and they wanted to give. They wanted to offer them to us because we were there helping. Now, talking about a heart of God, a heart of Christ, I mean, I just broke down in tears. In the other church this morning, and if y'all would have seen me, I was a blubbering idiot because I just started crying, but I come to terms with it this morning. But they gave in the midst of the destruction all that they had, because they were thankful that people were there helping. And I saw when I was coming at different times, but one struck me on the way home yesterday afternoon. An older lady who didn't need to be out doing this. She's walking down the road, struggling, and has a case of water over her shoulder and a handful of canned goods trying to get back, because she had her something to get her and her family through for a few days. The lines were long to get the supplies for the people that needed them. Because they had no way to get around. Their cars were gone. Their houses were gone. There was nothing. And they were trying to get anything that they could. And another lady in a wheelchair, very similar to what we see back here that we have here in the church, a little motorized wheelchair. She had a little cart hooked up behind her wheelchair and had gone down to the aid station to get water and to get food so that she could feed her family. But there are just so many places where this tragedy reminded me of the balance of life and the frailty and how much pain it caused. But I also saw the goodness of how people wanted to help. A little lady who run a hamburger stand, giving out free food. Houses in the community they were on higher ground. And they had clothes in the front yard, free clothing, meal at lunchtime, meal at supper. That's what God's people were doing in this community in the midst of this destruction. And it's just hard when you think of what we have. Hard when you think of what we have. And this is what our brothers and sisters are experiencing. And then as the floodwaters recede, you'll see the top of a car out in the field. And we knew what we were going to find when we found those cars. People who had lost their lives. Brothers and sisters, this is just hard. We sit back over here and we think about what we have. And you shared it earlier. We lost our power for an hour or two or three and we're okay. Or a day or two and we're okay. But today, our brothers and sisters have awoken to a totally new and different world. And it would be so easy for them to give up. It would be so easy to say, you know, I can't do it anymore. Everything's gone. It's not worth living. It's not worth doing. I don't know where to turn. I don't have family. You can't get anywhere. People tried to get out and they couldn't go. It took me 3 hours yesterday just to figure out how to get my team home and get another team in there, because there's that much road. You don't think about places like Highway 74 being gone, or Interstate 95 being gone, or entire communities under the water. But that's what's happened. But today, the message that we have, that we read from the prophet Isaiah, is one of hope that God will deliver. That God will deliver in our darkest times. Noah was delivered and spared the floods with his families. Moses led the Israelites across the Red Sea because of God's work, and Joshua took them across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. That God will deliver, and He's ready to use us to do exactly that. But we have to have, all of us, those that are affected, those that are here now, we have to have that faith, that hope, that trust in God, that God will take care of us. And that God will use us. So many people have asked me, well, what is it that we can do? What is it that we can do to offer our help? I mean, I've got emails and phone calls. And even while I was down there, people were asking. Because in the midst of something like this, I mean, we like to think. I mean, yeah, there is some messed up stuff in this world. But we And we kind of get into that cynical mindset that the world is a bad place. But there are a few bad people in this world. But I'll tell you what, there's more people who have been touched that have God in their heart than we would imagine. People want to help. And I saw that down there when some of those kids came in. I lost it just knowing that they were given what they had in the midst of all of that. But what we can do now is we can pray. We can pray. We can offer who we are in our hearts for those that have been affected by these disasters, those responders that still continue to go down and stand in harm's way to offer help. And we can also give what we have. We give of our hearts, we can pray. And then over these next couple weeks, we're going to be taking up a special offering. If you'd like to contribute to the Hurricane Matthew relief, you can do that. And you can do it two ways. You can contribute to the whole response of what the churches are doing to provide and to help to recover by noting Hurricane Matthew on your check. But if you want to give specifically to the North Carolina need, you can write North Carolina Hurricane Matthew response. And the district is going to focus every bit of that to the recovery and to the help. And right now, our brothers and sisters need us. In the disaster world that I live in most days, we have our response phase, the emergency response, where we're doing the rescues and doing the health care and we're doing the evacuations and we're doing those things. But on the other side of it, you've got the recovery phase, and today is that official day where recovery has started. But I would tell you that as the recovery starts, that's when we as a body of Christ enter our emergency phase. And we pour out our hearts and our help in any way that we can. So today, as we hold hands and we pray, I'm going to start off with a prayer. And then I'm going to enter a time of silence. And if you want to pray, if you want to lift up words to the Lord this morning and speak those words out, you're welcome to do that. Or if you want to pray in your heart, then you can do that too. But I want our brothers and sisters down there who are hurting to know that Center Grove United Methodist Church, that St. Paul United Methodist Church, that these little small rural churches are praying with all of our hearts so that we can make a difference and that they're not alone, that God's going to deliver them, and that we're going to love them and we're going to pray for them. Amen.